reading in verse number 19 tonight, and God's not done with you. Everybody in this room, I want to tell you something. You are important. You are very important in the kingdom work. When you get to the place that you feel like you're of no value, what am I doing here? Listen, that's not of God, that's of Satan. You have value, you're important, and God's not done with you. You never know who's watching you live your life for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Trials that you go through, things that you go through, people are watching, and how you come out stronger on the other side, that's what they're watching. But most of all, they're watching that you don't throw the towel in, that you don't quit, that you don't stop, that you keep on keeping on. Amen? And tonight, as we come to Acts chapter number 14, we're going to begin reading in verse number 19. And here, Paul and Barnabas, they preached the gospel of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And I want to show you what happened. If you have a copy of God's Word, I ask you to stand as we reverence the reading of God's Word tonight. God's not done with you. Acts chapter number 14, in verse number 19, the Bible says, "And there came thither certain Jews from Antioch and Iconium, who persuaded the people, and having stoned Paul, drew him out of the city, supposing," and that is a key word in that text, "supposing he had been dead. Howbeit, as the disciples stood round about him, he rose up and came into the city, and the next day he departed from Barnabas to Derbe. And when they had preached the gospel to that city and had taught many, they returned again to Lystra and to Iconium and Antioch, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. And when they had ordained them elders in every church and had prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord on whom they believed." Our Father and our God, as we bow in your presence tonight, I thank you tonight that you have left us here for a great reason and a great cause tonight, Father. Lord, you have saved us, Father, for a great reason right now. And I thank you for that we don't have to spend eternity in a devil's hell. But Father, you've saved us that we must go out and spread the gospel, the good news of you, Father. And Lord, I pray tonight that when we get done tonight, not me, but when we get done, you, Father, you, the Holy Ghost, Father God, and me just getting under your authority tonight, when it's all said and done, I pray whoever walked in tonight and feels like it's about over and they're of no value, that tonight when they walk out, they can say that you're not done with them. Father, I pray tonight for the next few moments you sit down amongst us. Lord God, I pray tonight you be with little Grady as he is there in Birmingham. Lord, I agree in Jesus' name tonight that he's going to be healthy. He's going to be well. He's going to be right what you would have him to be, Father. Lord, I pray for Sister Kim. Lord, I lift her up to you. All the prayer requests that's been mentioned tonight, Lord, I pray you touch them real good. Father, I pray this in Jesus' most holy, precious name, and all of God's people say it. Amen. You may be seated tonight. God's not done with you. Tonight as we come here and we study this text tonight, Paul and Barnabas, they preached the gospel boldly. As you go back and you look in verse number 3 of the text, they preached it boldly. They didn't sugarcoat it, they didn't water it down, but boldly they preached the gospel of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And some believed. If you look in verse number 1 of the text, some believed. But in verse number 2, some didn't believe. And the ones that didn't believe, some of them stoned Paul for the gospel, supposing he was dead. But God was not done with Paul. And he isn't done with you and I tonight either in our lives. One word that he used there though in the text, and this is where a lot of Christian folks get here tonight, and he said here in verse number 19, if you will, they stole Paul and drew him out of the city, supposing he had been dead. That's believing what's not true. Supposing he was dead. Supposing he was of no more value. Supposing he was of no more threat. Supposing that he was... Have you ever thought, well, somebody, I suppose somebody's been talking about me. I suppose somebody don't like me. I suppose... And none of that's true. None of that's real. They supposed he had been dead. But you know what tonight? Even when people suppose that we're no good, we're of no value, and you get that in your mind tonight, I want you to know that God's not done with you. And how do we know that God's not done with us tonight? You say, preacher, you don't know my failure. You don't know my faults. It doesn't matter. I know what He did on the cross of Calvary. I know what He did in the Old Testament. I know what He's done in the New Testament. He is the same God in the first part of the book as He is at the end of the book. Can I get an amen? Hey, tonight I want you to know as we think about that God's not done with you, I think number one tonight how He opened the Red Sea for Israel. How they came there to the Red Sea and He parted that waters. And there's some of you in here tonight that He has parted the waters in your life. He has took storms in your life and He has parted that water in your life. I thought about how He shut the lion's mouth and when Daniel got thrown in the lion's den, and He shut that lion's mouth and they couldn't do nothing. They could not harm him not one bit. I thought about how He prepared a fish for Jonah. Oh, Jonah was disobedient and going the wrong way, but you know what? God didn't give up on him. He prepared a fish for him. And then I thought about Jesus, how He arose from the grave. Everybody had gave up on Him. His disciples had done said, hey, He's dead. They was going back to do what they usually did. But you know what? Jesus arose from that grave. And I think about tonight that God's not done. He will raise you and I up just like He did in Paul's life for three important reasons I find in this text tonight. And I ask a question, what are you still doing here? What are you still doing alive? What is your purpose in life? And you say, preacher, I don't know what my purpose is tonight. If you're a born-again believer tonight, washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, I'm just going to give you three important things and reasons why you're still here and God is still going to use you. That excites me, don't it you? You say, well, ain't nobody going to listen to me. You'd be surprised who people listen to when you start telling them about Jesus. Let me give you them three important reasons tonight, and you find all three of them in verse number 22 tonight as we look into the text. He says this, confirming the souls of the disciples. And that's number one tonight. One reason that you must understand that God's not done with you because He uses you in people's life to be a confirmation. That confirmation tonight is someone that would strengthen another person. It would be strengthening the disciples. It's confirmation in someone's life. It's a process to strengthen a person or a brother tonight. Did you know that tonight? It's one thing to be saved, but it's something totally different to strengthen a brother that's been down and out, that's been hurt, that's been crushed, and think that they have no value in their life. And you start telling them that God loves them, and you show that confirmation in your life how God has strengthened you and He's not giving up on you and He has seen you through. You know what we need in the world that we live in? We need people showing confirmation that God's hand is still in the healing business. It's still in the helping business. It's still in what we need it to do tonight. And if you'll show me, I want to show you tonight a confirmation that Paul said here in Ephesians chapter number 4 and verse number 14 tonight. I'm talking about a confirmation that this blows you out of the water tonight. And it says what God can do in your life. What a confirmation it is. What if I come in here and every time I preach, I told you there was no praise reports. There was no hallelujah. There was nothing to be thankful for tonight. And all we come in, it was doom and gloom. There's no confirmation that God was still on the... Just this. I can't help it. I get excited about it. Look what he says tonight in Ephesians chapter number 4 and verse number 14. And you talking about, preacher, why do we need confirmation? Because here's what's going on in the local body church. Here's what's going on in Christians' lives tonight. They're tossed through and throw. Anything they hear, they believe, they take it, and they take it and they run with it. Folks, tonight, if it's not in this Bible or it goes against the Bible tonight, I give you confirmation tonight. Get away from it. Amen? Look what he says here in verse number 14. He says that we henceforth be no more children. Tonight, if you're a child of God, you are a children of God tonight. He said no more. Or being tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lay in wait to deceive you. You say, preacher, what tonight? You ought to give confirmation. How are you going to strengthen a brother tonight? I say tonight, number one, against lies tonight. Don't listen to the lies of the devil. Don't listen to the lies of Satan. One thing that will kill a church quicker than anything and one thing will make you think of you of no value is people you suppose people do this and you suppose they do that. You be what God has called you to be tonight because He's not done with you. There is a revival coming in the land that we live in, and if you give up now, you won't be a part of it then. Hey, tonight he says there's a confirmation to strengthen the disciples against what's preacher, against lies tonight, against deception tonight, confusion or swaying tonight, swaying by any wind of doctrine, by anything that comes. They sway this way and they sway that way. Peter, Paul said this, don't you sway. Do you think Paul got stoned for swaying? No. When they stoned him and killed him, wanted to kill him, he didn't get stoned for swaying. He didn't get stoned for sugarcoating. He didn't get stoned for tickling ears. You know what tonight? He got stoned for telling the truth that people were swaying and they needed to get right and they needed to get right where God would have them to be. You know what he did when he come in? He told them that there was everlasting life, that there was eternal life in Christ Jesus, that you could be saved and keep it for eternity. And you know what? The Jews, they didn't like that. They didn't want to hear that. And then he was telling the Gentiles, and he said, since you don't want that confirmation in your life and you don't want something that you can stand on and you want to do it by works and not by grace alone, I'm going on to the Gentiles. And you know what they started doing? They wanted to put a yoke around people's necks. And here's what they told the Gentiles: we don't care if you be saved, but we're going to put a yoke around your neck. Every one of you Gentile males, you must be circumcised. And you know what Paul told them? He said, oh no, you're bringing in something more. Hey, there's more. There's no more to it. It's the blood of Jesus Christ. It's His grace tonight. And there's confirmation in that tonight. Friends, tonight, don't let nobody put a yoke around your neck and tell you that you got a list of things to do to keep your salvation. It is through the grace of God and His grace alone. Amen. That's what it is tonight. And you get you a list of things to do and you're going to break one of them, I guarantee you, for daylight. Get you a list and you'll break it before daylight. Confirmation strengthens the disciples. Should we live godly in Christ Jesus? Why? Of course, yes. It don't give you a license to sin. It just gives you confirmation that you are saved. Amen? So number one tonight, he said, go by in verse 22. God's not done with you because He wants you to give confirmation to other people. Confirmation to the disciples concerning conforming the souls of the disciples. Confirming them, helping them out in what they do. But let me give you this tonight. Number two. Number one, there's confirmation that strengthens the disciples. Boy, I thank God for confirmation, don't you? If you're going to buy something, what do they send you? A confirmation number. If you got, you know what, tonight I got a confirmation. Amen, Brother Roy. And it's written in heaven in the Lamb's Book of Life. I'm going to mess up, slip up, step up, get up. I'm going to do all kind of things that ain't right. But you know what? My salvation is not laying on me. It's laying on heaven. It's already in the throne room tonight. Signed, sealed, and delivered at the hand of Jesus Christ tonight. And when that day comes in my life and I die and I leave this walk of life and I stand in heaven, it will not be on that day of judgment. I will not be standing there to see if I made it in. I'll be standing there to hear Him say, welcome in. Amen. Thy good and faithful servant. Folks, tonight, there's confirmation there in the disciples tonight and people tonight. You know what people want to do? They want to put a yoke around your neck and tell you you got to do all these things to live for Christ Jesus. Folks, tonight, let me tell you what it takes to live for Christ Jesus. It takes grace. It takes His blood. It takes being washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, confirming the souls. Tonight you're going to slip, you're going to mess up, you're going to do all kind of things, and you're going to think you're of no count, no value, but God's not done with you. If you went the rest of your life and you was perfect, you wouldn't be able to witness or help anybody or share a testimony with nobody, because all it would be is that you was perfect and you did everything right. And who wants to hear that? Nobody wants to hear that. They want to hear, hey, I slipped, but He stepped up in my place. I messed up, and He turned it into a message. I failed the test and didn't get where I needed to be on it, but hey, He turned it into a testimony, amen? Because God stepped up. He said, you go confirm the souls, and I want you to exhort them as well. Look at number two in the text. Number one, by confirming the souls and what God has called us to do, giving them confirmation, but then exhortation. Look at this in verse number, if you would, 22 there. Confirmation, confirming the souls of disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith. Number one, you're going to have to strengthen one another. And number two, you're going to have to encourage each other to keep on keeping on. We need that at Union Chapel. We need people to say, hey man, you're stronger than you think you are, and you need to keep on keeping on. You don't need to quit. You don't need to get out. You don't need to give up. You need to stay with the stuff because God's done a work in your life. And exhorting them to continue in the faith. Why is He telling you to continue? Because people are dropping out. People are quitting. They're getting to the sideline. They don't want in the action no more. Folks, tonight, it ain't. Paul did not get stoned by quitting. He got stoned because he wouldn't quit. He got ridiculed because he wouldn't quit. It's easy to quit, but it's hard to stay the course. There's one thing my mama, she ain't very tall over there. She's a little short thing. But there's one thing that she's always done in her life. If you started it, you didn't get to quit. Whatever sport you started, it didn't matter how, you can hate it till you turn blue in the face. But you're going to finish it. Number one, because she bought you a uniform. Number two, she paid the fee. And number three, that's just the way she was. Can I say tonight, that's the same way God is. He wants you to finish the race. He wants you to finish the course tonight, confirming the souls and exhorting them. And what does that do tonight? What does it do, preacher, when you exhort or uplift somebody to tell them to keep on keeping on or to continue and not stop? Can I say to you, number one, tonight, and I just wrote these few things down that is on my heart. If you're going to continue to uplift somebody in the faith and exhort them not to stop, number one, I'm going to tell you tonight, if you won't quit, you're going to have a good testimony. You're going to have a good testimony. You go in for a job interview. Listen to this now. You go in for a job interview and you got 10 places you worked in the last year, you're probably not going to get the job. Amen. If you've worked one job in 30 years, you're probably going to get a job wherever you go. This ain't about getting a job. This is about doing what God's called us to do. But if you'll keep on keeping on, even when it gets hard and you think everything's falling apart and you say, preacher, what does this got to do with us tonight? Somebody may feel like quitting. If you will just stay the course and don't quit, continue on. Number one, it produces a good testimony if you don't quit. If you don't quit, it's going to give you a good testimony in your life. Because if you quit, you're a great minds think alike. If you quit, you're a quitter. Well, no, preacher, I don't care what you quit. If you quit, you're a quitter. Does anybody in this room want to be a quitter? No. You don't want to be a quitter on somebody that died for you. Let me give you this. Number one, I just thought it produces a good testimony. Not a quitter, but a winner. Number two, I thought about this as I read that. Confirming the souls and exhorting them to continue in the faith. If I'm going to exhort you and tell you to keep on keeping on, number one, it produces a good testimony. Number two, it produces the assurance. And here's where it messes people up. And listen to this. The assurance of your salvation. The assurance of your salvation. You know why people don't have assurance in their salvation? Because they quit all the time. When things get tough, they quit. They throw in the towel. They quit. They give up. They don't keep on. You've not seen what your salvation will do to you get in a hard place. When you get in a hard place and you've got nobody but God, it'll show you the assurance of your salvation in your life. How he steps up and he shows up. Number one, it'll give you a good testimony. Number two, it's the assurance of salvation that you're not quitting. That you're not quitting, that you're still doing what God's called you to do. Turn with me, if you will, to 1 Corinthians chapter number 4 and verse number 2. I want to show you this tonight. Well, another thing that it will do in your life. 1 Corinthians chapter number 4 and verse number 2 tonight. Another thing that it'll do. Number one, if you'll continue on and not quit, you'll have a good testimony. I had a... in seminary school, I had a professor talking to this guy, and he was talking in class. And that guy had been preaching for 20 years. And he said, and here's what he said to him in front of everybody. He said, well, I've been preaching for 20 years. He said, no, you've been preaching for 2 years. He said, no, I've been preaching for 20 years. He said, no, you've been preaching for 2 years. You stay at a church 2 years, and every 2 years you leave. So really, you've only preached 2 years. You've only passed, he was talking about how he was a pastor and a preacher and how he had done that for 20 years. He said, no, you've only been there for, you've only stayed 2 years, you're long as tender. He said, what does that got to do with anything, preacher? When things get tough, how long are you going to stay? Let me give you this. Number one, it produces a good testimony. Number two, it produces assurance of salvation. And number three, if you'll just keep on keeping on, it produces your faithfulness toward Christ. Look what he says. 1 Corinthians chapter number 4, verse number 2. Moreover, over everything you can do after you get saved, no matter what, over anything you can do, moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. That you be faithful in what God's called you to do. I see it produces a good testimony. It produces the assurance of salvation. It produces faithfulness. Moreover, is required. And stewards, that a man be found faithful. You say, preacher, I want to be strong. And I want to continue on. But I keep slipping up. Can I tell you what slips you up? Trials that come our way. Look what he says in the verse. I want you to confirm the souls of the disciples. Exhort them to continue in the faith, and he said, I don't want you only to give them confirmation and exhortation, but I want you to be able to give them an explanation of why you do what you do. Tonight I ask you a question when we started, why are you still here? And can you give an explanation why you're still here? Number one, you're here to strengthen the next brother beside you. Number two, you're here to continue on and not quit. But number three, you're here to give an explanation of the hope that lives inside of you. and what God's done in your life. Let me share this with you tonight in verse 22. Confirming the souls of disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith that we must through much tribulation, got to continue, enter into the kingdom of God. That explanation is this, that trials will come. Tonight, God's not done with you, and I must explain to you tonight, when you become a Christian, it ain't all roses and peaches. It ain't all peaches and cream. If you got saved thinking everything's going to be a bed of roses, you missed the mark. I know some people are going to tell you everything's a lot better when you get saved. It's opened my eyes to a lot more since I've been saved. I thank God I am saved. It's better on this side than it was on the other side. But I want to say this, trials come just like they did on the other side. Now there's things that I used to do on the other side that I just sweep under the rug and let it go. Now I'm on this side. I can't sweep it under the rug and let it go. I have to stand. I have to give an explanation for what I do. There's some things I can't do and you can't do because our anointing won't let us. I can't run with the boys no more because my anointing won't let me, Brother Roy. I can't run with the boy. I can't go down the road and pull into anybody's old house. And I have to give an explanation for that. Well, you're better than us. Oh, no, I just can't go down there. Because if I go down there, I'm going to be down there. Well, no. I got to give an explanation why. Because trials come to me just like it does to any other man. And there's trials that's going to come to your life when you get saved. And you got to know how to handle these trials. And you say, too many come my way. They come to every one of us. I about guarantee you have about the same amount. Anybody that lives in Christ Jesus doing what God's called them to do, trials are going to come your way. They're going to come every day in your life. And you say, preacher, what are we going to do about them? How are we going to handle them trials? Number one, you got to strengthen. You got to get tough. You got to strengthen up. Get in that Bible. Read that thing. Stay with it. Don't give up. And continue on. And when you get right there, you say, hey, here's my explanation. Let me show you this. Here's the explanation why I do what I do. And I keep on moving on. Here's what Paul told them. Look with me, if you will, in 2 Timothy chapter number 3 and verse number 12 that are about trials that come. Trials are to be expected. And that believe truly, that's what hurts a Christian when they're not told that trials are to be expected in your life when you get saved. You got to expect them that they're going to come and you just got to handle them when they come. You say, preacher, are you sure about that? The explanation is this. Look with me in 2 Timothy 3:12. Yea, or yes, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus. Who in here tries to live godly in Christ Jesus? I said try now. Try. We try our best. There's some people who knows the button that pushes us. It's as good as any. Amen? My wife, I can push her button. And she can push mine. Uh-huh. But can I say to you this? We've learned how to handle that button a whole lot better. Before, when that button would get pushed, I'd stomp out of the house, knock the sheetrock in, rip the door off, and stay gone. It don't go that way no more. Why? Because I'm trying to live godly in Christ Jesus. Look what he says. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. If you're going to live for Christ Jesus, it's going to come. Trials are to be expected. Turn with me to 1 Peter, if you will, chapter number 5, are going to come. But trials are to be accepted. If you say, Lord, please let no trials come to my life, you're not going to be very strong. And you ain't going to have to continue on. It takes trials to build your faith in Christ Jesus. It takes trials to come. It takes trials to come. 1 Peter 5:10, look what the Bible says. But the God of all grace who hath called us into his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, whew, have you ever just thought, man, I can't take no more? Yeah, you can. After you suffered, hey, you must accept them when they come. Hey, I know he is sending it for some reason. I expect it to come, and I'm accepting it. And if you stand for God, it's going to come. But the God of all grace who hath called us into the eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that you have suffered a while, here's what will happen. When you've been in that trial and you say, preacher, I don't know how much longer I can stand. When he brings you out on the other side, look what's going to happen. He'll make you perfect, establish. He's going to establish you. You say, what does that mean? You're going to be stronger than you was when you went in that trial. You're going to be stronger. There's some trials, Brother Rory, and I don't know why I'm on you tonight, but maybe because you're sitting out there and ain't nobody else in front of you. There's some trials you can handle that I ain't going to be able to handle right now. There's some trials he's going to let you go through. You know why? Because you're at an age in your life that you can go through them. In your season in Christianity, you can go through them that I may not be able to go through right now. But there's trials going to come to everybody's life because they come. So number one, he can establish you. That you will continue on and you won't be blown away with just anything, but you'll stand strong. He'll establish you. And there's that other word, that strengthen you. He'll strengthen you. And I love this, he'll settle you. When trials come, you won't blow up like you used to. He won't blow up, oh glory. He'll establish you, he'll strengthen you, and he'll settle you. Let me give you another thing about a trial. Trials are effective. When they come to your life, they are effective. If they was not, we'd all be doing whatever we wanted to do. Turn with me to James, if you don't mind tonight. James chapter number 1. James chapter number 1. Verse number 2 and verse number 4, please. James 1, 2 through 4. Trials are effective. And here's what James said. My brethren, he's not talking to the lost man, he's talking to the saved man, the saved lady. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. When temptation comes your way and you know that temptation is coming, do you count it all joy? I got to be honest, I don't. I think, man, what is it? Where is this coming from? Why is it coming my way? But here's what he says. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. That'll be different kind of temptations that come your way. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. Just what Sister Nicole asked for tonight. Patience. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. Why does it work patience? When a trial comes your way and you can't handle it, you're having to wait on God to establish you, to strengthen you, and to settle you. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Not wanting nothing in your life. And you get to that place where you know God's not done with you. Brothers, I wrote this down. Brothers and sisters, God is not done with you. There is no telling who is watching your Christian walk and they receive confirmation by watching your walk. And they get exhorted. They get lifted up. And now have an explanation why they need to keep on keeping on. One question that I get asked all the time when I run into somebody I ain't seen in a couple weeks, a couple months, here's what they say. They say, they don't ask me, am I still following Jesus, still loving the Lord, none of that. They say, you still pastoring over at Union Chapel? You still the preacher over there? Why? Number one, they want to know if I'm continuing on. They want to know if I'm continuing on, doing the work that God's called me to do. And then, of course, I tell them, man, yeah, we're having a heyday. It's wonderful. We could be having a bad day, but I'm not telling them that. Why? Because I choose not to. We could be having the biggest church split you ever seen. And man, it's all going great. It's wonderful. Why? Because it ain't none of their business. It ain't none of their business. You say, preacher, that's rude. No, it ain't. Listen to me tonight. I've got a group here that I get to pastor, and I want you to know God's not done with you. He's not done with you. And I want to give you confirmation tonight to tell you, hey, he's trying to strengthen you. He's trying to give you strength up underneath you, strengthen you. You say, preacher, I've been through a lot. We all have. But he's wanting to give you that confirmation to strengthen you and to exhort you, to tell you, keep on keeping on. And when somebody asks you, why do you keep doing what you're doing? Give them an explanation. Tell them. Them trials, I'm going to go through them either way. If I keep on, if I don't, trials are going to come. And I want to be faithful to what God's called me to do. Paul got stoned for not backing down, but for standing up. He got ridiculed, not from backing down, but for standing up. Tonight, as a group of believers tonight, we must stand up for what God's called us to do. Keep marching on. Keep doing what God's called us to do. And my prayer tonight, when I come in here, when I come in these four walls tonight, my prayer is this, just to tell you that God's not done with you. He's got big plans for you. He's wanting to use you, and he's wanting to use you right where you're at. You say, well, I'm waiting on God to use me. He'll use you where you're at before he uses you down the road. If he can't trust you where he's got you right now, he won't trust you on down the road. If he can't trust you over the small things to be strong and to continue on and be faithful, He's not going to give you a big task down the road. He's going to give you something right now that you can handle. And he's waiting on you to handle what he gives you. Tonight, I don't know what you face in your life, but I do know this. He's giving you the strength to handle it. He's giving you the strength. He's giving you the ability to handle what he sends your way. And I have to believe this tonight. The Bible teaches me there's not nothing that comes our way that don't goes through his hands. Any trial, temptation, anything comes your way, it goes through his hands before it ever comes to you. Why? Because he's the God of the universe. He's the creator. He created everything. He's God. He sees all. He knows all. And he knows tonight that he's not done with you. Father, I love you and I thank you for this night. Lord, I thank you for this group of believers. I thank you tonight, Father God, that we got confirmation in our life, Father, tonight, because we're not quitting. We're staying the course. We're staying true to what you've called us to do. Father, tonight, I thank you that you uplift us tonight. You don't leave us where you find us, but you want us to continue on, to keep on keeping on. And Father, tonight, I could stand here all night long and give explanation after explanation of how you've delivered me from trials in my life. But I could also be true tonight and say that some trials I failed, they've come back again. And Father, tonight I pray that any trial, any temptation, anything comes to my life, Lord, that I accept it with grace and patience and handle it through the blood of Jesus. Lord, just as Paul came there in his life, they supposed that he'd have gave up, that he was dead. But Father, greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. I love you tonight, and I thank you for this Bible study. It's in Jesus' holy, precious name, and all God's people say. Amen. You are dismissed.